Let us rise as we're able for our gathering hymn. Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church on this 10th of November. Today is Harvest Feast after the service. One of my favorite times of year. I'll ask all of us to focus at this time on the God who has created, the God who redeems, and the God who sanctifies us. As we begin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done. And by what we have done, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. O Christ, our hope, number 604. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you show forth your almighty, chiefly by reaching out to us in mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace. Strengthen our trust in your promises and bring all the world to share in the treasures that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the lessons.
The first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 18. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as her and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalmody is Psalm 146, and we'll read it responsively. Praise the Lord.
Lord, O my soul.
Oh, praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God all my life long.
Do not put your trust in princes.
In mortals, in whom there is no help.
When the breath departs, they return to the earth.
On that very day, their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob.
Whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth.
The sea and all that is in them. Who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed.
Who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers.
He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever.
Your God will reign for all generations. Praise the Lord.
The second reading is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all, at the end of the age, to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers, receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched. The crowd was putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had, all she had to live on. The Gospel of the Lord. And now may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. I belong to an online group to which a pastor's spouse, his wife, introduced me, and it is called Lutheran Coffee and Donuts. And if you're Lutheran, you get the coffee part, for sure. And one of the occasional offerings is a four-celled cartoon entitled Coffee with Jesus, and a quick message about theology, discipleship, or general religious musings. They're presented more often than not in a humorous way, but always respectful and always friendly. Start any day with it, and other sites as well. And what else? Waking with my morning coffee. I like to think of Jesus sharing my coffee time, but this morning's gospel lesson does kind of make me chuckle, but not quite. Would I share coffee with Jesus? Really? Well, but of course, I have lots. Would I give it all to Jesus and myself go without? Note that the indicates that at the very least, it's not my knee-jerk reaction to simply hand it all over. And in my sorry, feeble defense, we don't know for sure how long the widow who gave every cent she had, 1 cent, thought long or hard before showing up at the temple and is now remembered for 2,000 years and counting and without name. As I alluded last Sunday, on All Saints Day Sunday, many, probably most saints, are only known to God alone. We have no windows into other people's souls, and we certainly don't have the capacity to know every name in God's book of life, and there's no need. The temple. Finally, the Gospel of Mark this year, the 3-year-long journey of Jesus and his disciples, the 12 and others, as they journey from Galilee to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, in Hebrew, the city of peace, and the geographical center of Jewish life since King David, 1,000 years before. The temple. Jesus is there. Finally. And Jesus warns his listeners this morning to avoid the motives of the scribes and the Pharisees, who relish and they exult in their honored and highly conspicuous, highly, highly visible man on campus persona in their community. It would seem, no, let's be clear, that Jesus has the window into people's souls. I assure you, none of us do. But this morning he reports. Those trappings of authority and of good mean nothing to God, who by all accounts in Scripture, for those who worry constantly what the neighbors might think or be saying, God is the only neighbor whose judgments ultimately matter ever. Experience among the priesthood of all believers, which we all share by order or by dint of our baptisms, has given a certain framework for understanding why our gospel writer includes Jesus' arrival and his observation in this morning's reading. The widow gives 100%, not 10%, not a tithe, 100%. She gives her all. She is holding nothing back, as she also has nothing about her appearance which would evoke admiration or envy or even notice, except to Jesus. She doesn't even have a name. You will never in the whole of Christendom find a parish named after her, Saint Widow. Yet it is she whom Jesus calls our attention as the epitome of generosity. Now, in my own ministry, I have been privy to many, many circumstances, and the question of how some among us are so generous while others are so mingy and stingy, so brittle. It's puzzled my mind, but as I also wrestle with the same in my own heart. You see, this poor widow is the one Jesus points to as our example of stewardship and great faith. And the key, as I've come to understand, in a studied observation through the years, is that the most generous are also the most grateful. We're all very, very rich, not only by the measure laid out in today's gospel lesson, as well, more than 99% of us have wealth greater than one penny, but away from all those whom I've known who would be generous by the measure Jesus uses today, the measure reported by St. Mark, there is a correlation that has nothing to do with the bottom line. There's no accounting for the accountancy. I've known very wealthy people who are very generous, and I've known very poor people who are very generous. I've known very poor people who are stingy, and I've known people who are very wealthy who are also stingy. The truly have no need, no desire, in my experience, to be seen as such. Ski season is about to begin. I grew up in the Upper Valley, and anyone past early teens knows that two kinds of people will soon be hitting the slopes. Those who love skiing, and those who love to be seen skiing. Many times their skill levels will be the same, sometimes they will be different. And there's no way to tell which person is which of the two broad categories. It's in the environment does begin to reveal the different attitudes toward the sport among the skiers. Clothing and words, they don't always tell the truth. They can deceive, intentionally or not. They have the ability to lie, but actions don't. It's impossible. Actions never lie because they can't. Over many, many years, regardless of great or limited resources, I have come to discern the difference between the generous and the not so generous, and between the entitled and the grateful. Not class, not race, not intelligence, not gender, not attendance, not anything at all, except for the grateful and the not grateful. Why was the widow grateful? Obviously she was. Because of her generosity, I know, this is one grateful woman. Why was she so trusting? We're never going to know. But she was. It's revealed in her generosity. Just as the Pharisees, the entitled, the ones that we encounter in Scripture, sadly, are not going to be the only ones we encounter in our lives. More sadly, even in our own hearts. Are we entitled or are we grateful? Jesus was finally at the temple. And in that work, he would embrace his destiny. Like the widow, he too would give his all that very week. Not his money, he didn't have any, but on Calvary, he would give his blood, every last drop. And it's for the redemption of us. Not just us, but for the whole world. Not because we're entitled, but because he's that good. He is that loving. He is that kind. And the grateful disciple is generous as a result. Generous with time, with resources, with all manner of inborn and bestowed gifts, as the heart receives the good news, the gospel, the good news of God's unmerited love and compassion for our lot, our broken and tragic lot. The heart that receives this news sports a generous response. As the Apostle John was later to write in one of his letters, we love because he first loved us. May our prayer this morning at St. John's, on this resurrection day, this Sunday at St. John's, be that which hears the good news of Jesus Christ, will fill every heart with the gratitude of the widow, the humbled and nameless widow, who responds with a generosity beyond most of us, boundless in its scope, stunning in its impact on a lost and contentious world. May we be the grateful people. May we be the generous people in American Falls. May we be the unconcerned that our names be or not. Let all glory, laud, and honor be to Jesus and Jesus alone.
Thank you.
Let us rise as we're able as we say the words of the Nicene Creed, affirming our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. Came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, the church, and all of creation. Renew your God, make us servants to one another for the sake of the gospel. Instill a heart for service and passion for justice in our bishops, deacons, pastors, and lay leaders. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Renew your creation, O God. Sustain the earth and seas and all that is in them. Kindle in us a reverent awe for all creatures, great and small. Strengthen us in our pursuit of climate justice. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Renew the nations, O God. Heal nations' veterans from the unseen wounds of war. Tend to their trauma and soothe burdened consciences. Guide leaders of the world to end conflicts and pursue peace. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Renew your people, O God. Protect those in our communities who are vulnerable or ill, especially those we lift up to you now in our hearts. Company persons who are unemployed or underemployed, children who are in foster care, and those who live alone. Watch over and uphold them, merciful God.
Receive our prayer.
Renew this congregation, God. Give us clarity in our mission and boldness in our witness. Bless our ministries that attend to basic needs of any who lack sufficient resources, that all may live with dignity. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Happy are those whose help was in you. We give thanks for faithful ones who praised you as their God all their life long. As we eagerly wait for you, inspire us by their lives of service. Merciful God,
we
offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated for the announcements.
Okay, I'm going to be a giant. Look at this. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the 25th Sunday of Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Ron Turner. I already sang to him. Happy birthday this week to Josh Unrau, Kimber Domchowski, Evelyn Mickelson, Virginia Goldruff, Erica Meadows, and Quinn Coopin. Happy anniversary this week to Kelly and Robbie Joe Colton. Pat Lou still needs some readers for December, so if you're able to read in December, please contact Pat. Now, on the back table, or you may have received it by email, or you may be getting it in the mail here sometime soon, is the survey that we need to fill out for the call committee. There's the copies on the black table on the back table that have that are written. You can just hand fill it out. Or there's a paper with the QR code so you can fill it out online, whichever media you like to use. Please grab one of those or look for yours in the mail or your emails. Next, we'll be preaching the sermon, but it's come to my attention that we're a little deficient in some areas. So all you kids, four or five of you, well, Annika, you can still be a kid if you wanna, but I will start doing a children's sermon. It's come to our attention that our kids don't know the Ten Commandments. So I'm going to start doing a children's sermon. And if there's no kids to come snuggle with me on the stairs, I'll pick an adult. So you might want to snuggle. You don't know. Lyndon does. He always wants to. Okay. Are there any other announcements? Did I miss something? Oh, the dinner. The dinner. I never forget the dinner. It's right after church. Don't eat it all because Rod and I got to count money first, okay? All right, offering will be collected at this time.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed these gifts. Ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world that you love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious name opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." As our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. This is the table of Jesus Christ. Let it be he to invite you. Let it only be he to restrain you from receiving him in this sacrament this morning. All is ready. Receive as you will, as the Lord calls you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us rise as we're able. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. Look upon you with favor and give you peace. Our processional out into the world is number 547. Peace, love, and serve the Lord.